Well, good morning. It's fantastic to be here with you again. I think it's been probably about a year and a half, a couple of years since I was last here. We're just here in the UK, my wife and I and our younger daughter, for about 3 weeks. We head back to Malaysia in a week's time. It's always... There's something very special. I said to someone last week, actually it was to the guy welcoming people in another church, and he said, and I'd mentioned to him that I was coming here this week, and I said, you know, I really love going to the church there in Shepparton because I always feel so welcome. And it's almost as though when you walk through the door into this church, there's not only just such a sense of welcome, but there's such a sense of anticipation. That we're not just here to go through the motions of a Sunday morning service, but we're here to meet with God and to be changed by Him. We don't want to be the same people that we are when we walk through the door. We want to be conformed even more to the likeness of Christ, to His freedoms, to His life, to His light when we walk out the door. And the comment of the person who was welcoming people in another church I was preaching, was that not how you felt when you came in here? And I said, oh, no, you know, just open my mouth to change feet. So we love coming here. As we were worshiping, something that has become particularly meaningful to me is a little phrase, and it comes out of the scriptures. Abundantly more. Abundantly more than we can ask or imagine. Abundantly more. Abundantly more. If you'd said to me 5 years ago that I'd be doing what I'm doing now, I wouldn't have believed you. Because it's abundantly more than I can ask or imagine. And the wonderful thing is, for 5 years from now, I'm going to say the same thing again. That if you said to me today, this is what you're going to be doing, this is what's going to be happening in 5 years' time, I wouldn't believe you. I know with absolute certainty I wouldn't believe you, because He's going to do abundantly more than I can ask or I can imagine. That's the adventure of the faith that we share. It's an adventure, it's a journey, it's a pilgrimage. And He desires to unfold in your life. As He desires to unfold in your heart, in your personality. Now, sometimes we talk about denying ourselves, don't we? I've got to deny myself. I've got to take up the cross. And we make the mistake of thinking that that means that we've got to deny our personalities. Now, when we say that, we're talking about denying our wills. But Father wants to draw out of you your true personality. He loves who you are. He loves who He's created you to be. He wants to draw out of you your true personality, who you really are, all of the things that He loves about you, that He's designed within you, that He's put in the very fabric of your DNA. He wants you to blossom and flourish and become the man, become the woman, become the son, become the daughter that He's created you to be, abundantly more than you can ask or imagine. That's His heart for you. Now, a number of years ago, I was sitting in a counselor's office in Chiang Mai in Thailand. As a team, our team in Malaysia, we have a policy of going at least every couple of years for some counseling with people like Mike. And they basically give us a health check. How are you doing? They're not part of our ministry, so they're somewhat objective. and we go for a week, have prayer ministry. And I was sitting opposite this guy, a guy who's become a close friend. His name's Tim. And this is going back a few years. And I was still struggling with believing that my Heavenly Father loves me without condition. That there's nothing that I have to do. There's nothing that I have to perform. There's nothing that I that I can do to earn His love for me. That He is Father. You know, He's not just a Father. He is Father. Everything about Him, His DNA, His personality, everything about Him is Father. And He has always been Father. Even when you didn't know who He is, even when you were running away from Him, even when you denied Him, He is still Father. He can't deny Himself. He has always been Father to you, even when you didn't want Him to be. Now, my daughters are my daughters. I can go to court. I can cut them off. I can say, I don't want to be your father, but I still am their father. I can't deny the biology. They are my daughters, whatever I say or do. And it's the same with us and our Heavenly Father. He has always been Father to us. And I'm sitting opposite this counselor, and he asked me this question. Tim said, Richard, if you were a quadriplegic in a wheelchair, if you couldn't stand up, if you couldn't move your little finger, if you couldn't speak or swallow, if you couldn't even blink your own eyes, would you be enough for God? If there was nothing that you could do, if you couldn't even chew your own food and swallow, would you be enough for God? And in my head, I'm saying, of course. But in my heart, I'm screaming, it can't be true. That He would love me regardless of anything I would or wouldn't do. He loves me. That He has always been Father to me. Now, I haven't, before Christ, we can't realize the benefits of His fathering. But He has always been Father to me. And this struggle that I was having in the counselor's office is really a good reflection of the book of Galatians. Because that's the struggle in this first book that Paul wrote. His first endeavor at expressing the gospel of Jesus Christ is salvation a free gift? Or have I got to do something to earn it? Often we receive it, don't we, as a free gift. And then we begin to do everything in our power to try and earn it. And Galatians comes through to this passage, which is really the summit, is the paramount passage at the end of chapter 3 and the beginning of chapter 4. And it's this passage that I want to look at now. And really, what we're going to see as we look at this morning is the fullness of the gospel. Now, when I saw this just a couple of years ago, I realized, you know what? I haven't been preaching the fullness of the gospel. But we find it here in this passage in Galatians. So turn with me, if you will, to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26. Just as we read the last few verses of chapter 3, Paul is summarizing everything that he said in the previous chapter. And so he says, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. Ah, your sin will find you out. that's right. Love covers a multitude of sins. Hallelujah, in the right place. Everyone else is just double checking. They switch their microphone off right now. You've been baptized into Christ. You've been clothed with Christ. I like what Dave said earlier about baptism. You know, the New Testament model, what we see in Acts as we read through the book of Acts, is that three things generally happened one after the other. People came to faith. They believed on Christ. And then they were either instantly filled with the Holy Spirit and then baptized, or they were baptized and then immediately filled with the Holy Spirit. The second two interchange through the big book of Acts. But they didn't have any baptism classes, or they didn't say, well, you need to wait until you're more spiritually mature, or we need to sort of more fully explain the gospel to you first, and we're going to have 4 weeks of classes. Once you believed on Christ, once you believed in Christ, you were instantly baptized. You can think of the Ethiopian eunuch and Philip. He said, well, what's to stop you from being baptized? You've believed. Let's find some water and we'll do it right here and now. And baptism is much more than a symbol. It's what we call a sacrament. A sacrament is an outward sign of an inward spiritual reality, like communion. Communion's not just a nice remembering of what Jesus has done. It has power. Now, sometimes when we're taking communion, people are spontaneously set free or healed. Why? Because it's an outward sign of an inward reality. And when we are baptized into the person of Jesus Christ. And that's where Paul's little favorite phrase comes 84 times in the New Testament, that we are in Christ. We are clothed with Christ. You know, Jesus didn't die so that you could have your own personal, individual relationship with your Heavenly Father. Jesus didn't die and be raised from the dead so you could have your own individual, separate, individual relationship with God as a father to you. Jesus was crucified and raised from the dead that you could have his relationship with Father. Not so you could have something individual, but so that you could have his relationship. You are in Christ. And when you are in Christ, everything about Christ's humanity, everything about his relationship with Father becomes true about you. In John chapter 1, we're told that Jesus was at the very bosom of the Father. That Jesus proceeds from the heart of the Father. The language is the same as that of John the Apostle leaning back on Jesus' breast. Everything about Christ, when you are in Christ, becomes true of you. You've been baptized into Christ. You've been clothed with him. Paul goes on and he says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. The gospel's the great leveler. You know, he's specifically refuting something here. It's the Jewish prayer blessing. The Jewish prayer blessing says, thank you, God, that I am not a Gentile, that I am not a slave, and that I am not a woman. Thank you, God, that I'm not a Gentile. That's all about our cultural status. I'm not a slave. That's about our social status. And that I'm not a woman, about our gender. And Paul is refuting that specifically here. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. We are one. We are going back to the garden. We're going back to before the fall. Interesting, isn't it? We read in Genesis chapter 3, and it's part of the curse. It's part of the curse that a woman will now defer to her husband. In other words, before that, it wasn't like that. The commission that God gave to the man and the woman was for them to go forth and for them to fill the earth and for them to take dominion. That they would do it hand in hand and side by side. That's where we're going back to. Father's bringing us into a place where it doesn't matter your culture, what nation you come from. It doesn't matter your social status. It doesn't matter your education. It doesn't matter what job you have. It doesn't matter what experiences you have or haven't got. It doesn't matter whether you are male or female. That we are one, clothed in Christ. We are in Him. And in Christ, we can enjoy Jesus' open, intimate relationship with Father. And we can enjoy it shoulder to shoulder. We can stand together in that. He goes on to talk. He says, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. In the earlier part of chapter 3, he's been talking about the promise that was given to Abraham. That God's covenant with Abraham wasn't based upon the law. That came 430 years later. But it was based upon a promise, a one way from God to Abraham, unconditional covenant about what God was going to do, regardless of Abraham. If you go back to Genesis chapter 3, you'll see that when the covenant was ratified, Abraham was asleep. Only God ratified the covenant. It was a one-way covenant, an unconditional covenant of what God was going to do, that He was going to bless all nations through Abraham's seed. It's what He's going to do. It's what He is doing. Our salvation is a gift. It's a gift. You can just receive it. If you try to earn it, it ceases to be a gift. I think it was Max Lucado who said, a gift earned is no gift at all. It's a gift. So what does that gift look like? Well, before I read the passage that I really want to zoom in on this morning, I want to tell you, Paul was an expert in word pictures. He would take things from everyday life, things that people were very familiar with, things that they would instantly recognize, and he would draw illustrations from everyday life, events, cultural events, things that people would say, oh, I know what he means. He's talking about this, or he's talking about that. And the word picture in chapter 4 is about sonship. Now, in some of the older versions of the scriptures, the word that is used is adoption. These days, theologians have largely agreed that that is a poor interpretation. Why is it a poor interpretation? We are not adopted. Because adoption is all about something that didn't belong, then belonging. That's not the process that we've gone through. We've gone through redemption. And redemption is about when something that previously belonged, belonging again. If I go to the pawn shop, that's P-A-W-N, not P-O-R-N. If I go to the pawn shop where I gave my jewelry in some months before and so that I could borrow some money in a time of need, I go back and I redeem that jewelry, right? In other words, something that previously belonged to me now belongs to me again. Adoption is something that never belonged to me, now belonging to me. In Adam, we all belong to Father. We are all, we proceed from Adam. In Adam, we all belong to him. And he is redeeming us back. He is bringing us back to that place that we had with him as sons and daughters in the garden. And so, the word picture, back to the word picture. I need somebody to help me. You, sir, look very handsome and attentive. Come on up. Come on. You've only got to stand here. Don't worry. James, okay. James, come. Could you come and stand here? Now, in a Roman household, let's say I'm a wealthy Roman father, husband, businessman. I have a wife, and my wife will, God willing, bear children for me. But also, I'll have concubines as well. Women who I have an intimate relationship with who are not my wife, and I'll have children by them also. And while these children that James represents are growing up, they are put under the care of something called a pedagogus. Pedagogus is a Greek word for a slave. That slave will care for them. That slave will care for them in their education, take them to school, help them with their homework. That slave will change their dirty diapers. That slave, that group of slaves, the pedagogi, were going to look after all of my children. They're my children, but they're not being cared for by me right now. They're being cared for by the slaves and the servants. And one day when my children have grown, as James has handsomely done here, and I wait until they are mature, because in those days there's such a high infant mortality rate, if I choose my son an heir too early, he may pass away. So I wait until my sons, my daughters, actually it only applies to sons, my sons become mature, maybe 25, 30 years old, and then I choose one of those sons to become my heir. And I take him to the Roman Forum, to the center of the city where I live or the town where I live, and I present him to the elders of the city, and what I do is I put a toga on him. I put a toga on him, and having done this, I then declare to all the elders and the leaders, this is my son and heir. This is the son that I love. This is the son that I'm proud of. This is the son that I desire to present to all of you. This day, he is my son. Maybe it went like Mark chapter 1, verse 8. This is my son, whom I love, and with whom I am well pleased. Now, James has always been my son. But now he's coming into a place of fullness. The language that Paul uses is when we were children, but now we're sons and daughters. He is coming of age. I'm presenting him as my son and as my heir. Just stand there a little bit longer. Now I want to read the passage to you. Take that word picture in mind as we read it. What I am saying is, as long as the heir is a child, he is no different from a slave. Although he owns the whole estate, he is subject to the guardians and the trustees until the time set by his father. So also, when we were children, we were in slavery under the basic principles of the world. But when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we, and this is the word that's in other translations translated adoption, huiothesia, that we might receive what? The full rights of sons. And it doesn't matter whether you're a Jew, a Gentile. It doesn't matter whether you're a slave or a free man. It doesn't matter whether you are male or female. Because now it applies to every one of us, regardless of cultural background, regardless of social status, regardless of gender. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out and cries, Abba, Father. So you're no longer a slave, you're no longer a child, but a son. And since you're a son, God has made you also an heir. God has made you also an heir. Thank you, James. That was hard work, wasn't it? Yeah. Untie you. Brilliant. Thank you. You know, sometimes because of the ministry that I'm part of a ministry called Father Heart Ministries. And our vision, our goal is to see people from every nation, from every culture, from every stream of Christianity, from every language group, finally face to face, that every person on the face of this earth would come into an intimate relationship with their Heavenly Father. That is why Christ has given his life, that we could come home. That we could come home in Christ. Because of that, we have a strong emphasis in our teaching on Father. And occasionally, someone will say to me, well, you didn't mention Jesus enough. You know, you didn't mention Christ enough. You know, this revelation of sonship, what we're talking about here this morning, I believe is the reality of what it means to be in Christ. We're not talking about the theory of what it means to be in Christ, but the reality of what it means to be in Christ. Standing in him, clothed in him. I have a dear friend, Trevor. He's a British guy, used to be a Baptist pastor. He works with us. And Trevor recently was the best man at a wedding in Scotland. And because it was in Scotland, they asked him if he would wear the full Scottish regalia, including the kilt. He wouldn't tell us whether he had underpants on or not. That was going to remain a sworn secret. And he was a bit nervous about it. You know, it really does look rather like a skirt, doesn't it? And when you're not used to wearing a skirt, you know, you're not quite sure when the right time is to cross your legs when you sit down and and all of that stuff. But he said, you know, when he stood in his bedroom, and he put on the kilt and the sporran and those little things that hold your socks up. And put the, not sure what you call it, sash or what have you over him. It's like something in him just rose up. You know, he felt like Braveheart or something. But there is a picture for us of what it means to be clothed in Christ. What it means to be a son. What it means to be a daughter. And so many of us, we've been living in the shadows. In our hearts, as it says here in the scriptures, there is something that sort of testifies, yes, I think I'm God's son. Yes, I think I'm his daughter. I think I'm his child. Or maybe it's easier for me to believe that Nia's his daughter than it is for me to believe. Or of course, Dave, he leads the church. I really believe Dave is his son. But for me, what does that mean? What does that mean? I'm not sure I believe it about me. I'm not sure that I believe that Father has always loved me, even when I didn't love him. Even when I didn't want him, even when I didn't choose him, he had already chosen me. As he has chosen every person in this world in Christ, he's just waiting for us to choose him back. You know, often at this time of year, and this is the first Sunday of 2014, we talk about destiny, don't we? Or what are you going to do? What is it? How's the adventure going to unfold this year? What are your New Year's resolutions? What's the will of God for you? We are encouraged maybe to pursue our destiny. I'll tell you what, when you discover the authority of being in Christ, when you discover the reality of being his son and daughter, you won't have to chase destiny anymore. Destiny will pursue you. When you discover the reality, abundantly more than you can ask or imagine, of what it means to be in Christ, you won't have to pursue destiny. You won't have to. It'll chase you like a guided missile. Because God is not looking for servants and slaves. He's looking for sons and daughters. Why? Because servants and slaves have no inheritance. But inheritance comes as a gift to sons and to daughters. It's an adventure. Now, I traveled 75,000 miles last year. That's three times around the world. If you told me 5 years ago, Richard, you're going to travel three times around the world in 2013, I'd have said, nah. I don't think so. I've got the Singapore Airlines gold card to prove it. Yeah? But the gold card's in my heart, not in my wallet. But you know, not that's not the greatest adventure. The greatest adventure isn't traveling three times around the world in a year. The greatest adventure is discovering who our Father is. The greatest adventure. Do you know how you define what the nature of true inheritance is? You ask this question: is it eternal? Is it going to last forever? Now, if I think my inheritance is being a father heart teacher, I've got a problem. Why? Because we're not going to need father heart teachers in heaven or in the new reality. I'm going to be out of a job. But we're going to be discovering who our Father is forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Are you living in the reality of what it means to be in Christ? Are you living in the experience of being togered by him? I want to read you something. This is by a chap called Baxter Kruger. He travels extensively with Paul Young, the writer of The Shack. And he wrote this in his book, The Shack Revisited. He said, I've heard a year's worth of sermons on the will of God and some shame-filled ones on settling for God's second best. I believe the will of the Father, Son, and Spirit for us is that we would know what Jesus knows, that we would see what Jesus sees, that we would experience what Jesus experiences when he looks into his Father's face. Think of what Jesus experiences when he looks into his Father's eyes and he hears, you are my son, in whom my soul delights. I dare say it's not sadness or fear dread, anxiety, or hopelessness. I think Jesus' soul is baptized with unearthly, otherworldly assurance, with freedom and confidence, a hope that is born in his Father's heart. Jesus gets to live his life in the joy of this baptism, in the freedom of the Spirit, and the dream of the Blessed Trinity is that we would too. That we would experience our Heavenly Father as Jesus experiences him. Not theory, not daydream, not shadow, but substance and reality. The reality of walking with our Father, of adventuring with him. And so my challenge to you at the beginning of this new year is there something inside of you that thirsts for more reality? That thirsts not just for the theory of relationship, not just for the dream of relationship, not just for the dream of abundantly more than I can ask or imagine, but reality. I've gone a little bit over time. Can I take 5 more minutes? Going to show you something you'll really like. 5 minutes worth of it. Is that okay, Dave? Last night, my children and I went to see a movie. The Secret Life of Walter Mitty. Has anyone seen it? Anyone read the book? Yes. Fantastic film. Best film I have seen in ages. And Walter Mitty is a guy that is caught in daydreaming. His life is actually pretty normal and boring. But he has daydreams of being a great explorer and adventurer. He sort of zones out, and suddenly he's in this massive adventure that's a figment of his imagination. But as the movie unfolds, the daydream becomes a reality. My question to you this morning, and as we watch this short movie clip, is, do you want just the dream? Do you want just the taste, or do you want the full mouthful? Do you want to just chew, or do you want to swallow? Do you want the Spirit of sonship to fill you? Do you want to know Father as Jesus knows and experiences Father? It's the adventure of walking with him. Have you been dreaming for a long time of something more real? Have you been dreaming of something that is greater substance, greater reality? Have you been longing for Father to toga you? For him to look into your eyes and say, "You're my son. I love you so much. I love you with all of my heart. I believe in you amazingly more than you can ask or imagine." Father wants to put that hunger. It's in every one of us. And you know what? Togering is just the beginning. Because after that comes the adventure of walking together with our Father. And for him, nothing is impossible. He can do anything, absolutely anything. The question this morning, and as we head into this new year, is Father asking, will you walk with me? Will you journey with me? Will you step into the fullness of what it means to be in Christ and embrace the adventure? Embrace the adventure. Can we stand? I'm so sorry I've taken more time than I was given. So we'll pray briefly. If you recognize that in your heart this morning is such a desire for more, if you recognize in your heart this morning a desire to move from dream, from daydream to reality, from the theory of His love to the reality of His love, from the dream of relationship to the reality of intimate, deep relationship. Just put out your hands before you where you stand. Father sees every one of our hearts. He sees your heart right now. Your heart right now. And He looks you straight in the eye and He says, yes, son. Yes, daughter. Yes, precious child. Adventure with me. Adventure with me. You are in Christ. You have been baptized into Christ, clothed with Him right where you stand this morning. When you walk out the door, when you walk down the street, clothed in Christ, with the fullness of Jesus' relationship with Father, open to you. Open to you. It's a gift. It's unconditional and irrevocable. It's a gift. Your Spirit, even right here, right now, testifying with His Spirit, son, daughter, child. Beloved. The one whom I love. Father, thank you. Thank you for sending Jesus. That in Him we might fully experience you as a Father to us. In Jesus' name.